Hi, this is Alex Romanovich, and welcome to Global Edge Talk. And today, April 8th, 2022, our guest is Alex Galkin, the CEO and co-founder of a company called Compotera, one of the top companies in cost performance and cost optimization in the retail industry, for the most part. And Alex, welcome to our studio.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being with us. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of great stuff to talk about. First, let me introduce you. Let me tell our audience a little bit about your background. You have founded or co-founded and presiding over a company called Compotera, a well-known company by now in the retail industry in terms of cost optimization, artificial intelligence, profit predictability for retailers and so forth. Great concept, especially right now after COVID, with the huge explosion of e-commerce. Very, very trendy, very interesting platform. We'll talk more about that. Prior to that, you have been involved with a variety of different startups and a variety of different companies. Some were successful, some were not as successful. You know, something a typical serial entrepreneur does, and we'll talk more about that as well. You're also, not to forget, you're also a Forbes Technology Council official member and advisor, and you write a number of different articles. You're well-published. So, it's a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll talk more about you as a person. I know you personally. I know you're a great enthusiast of sports. I know you're, I'm not sure what level you are at the capoeira, which is the, famous Brazilian fighting style. Your love of racing, motorcycle and car. You have a wonderful family. You have, and obviously we'll talk more about that whole, Ukrainian war type of a situation and how you helped to move the company to a safer place, what the company did in terms of anticipating something like this or not anticipating, but certainly reacting in a very positive way for the employees and providing safety and so forth. So lots to talk about. Before we do this, I want to ask you a key question. And the key question is about your serial entrepreneurship experience. You know, it always interests me in terms of how entrepreneurs, global entrepreneurs like yourself, how they think in terms of starting a company, running a company, measuring successes and so forth. Tell us about what went into starting Compotera, and after successes and failures, what sort of made you wake up one day and say, you know what, I want to do this, and this is what I'm going to bet the rest of my career on.
Alex, this is an amazing question. Let's start from the story. Yeah, I studied the CU Polytechnic University. I actually has a 2 diploma, computer science and medtech science. My diploma was around electronic nose. It's like in 2005, I first time faced with neural networks, what we used to actually recreate the smell, picture of the smell. Do not compare with the database. And I'm super proud because this work's still alive. And actually, I found the one startup right now using my this knowledge to actually recreate the smell pictures right now and actually using in their new technologies. And, that's a great question. The first, my entrepreneurial experience was, of course, that's there in university. And if you know, I'm so old that I remember the times when people visiting internet cafes, except that using internet at home. And we actually, the first business was we created the billing system for cyber cafes and 200 clubs using this billing system around Ukraine. And I was 18 years old. And I never realized this SaaS business at that moment. We just took money for one installment. And then I think that this is nothing good. And we actually dropping the services randomly to get additional dollars to recover the service. And that moment, my friend actually decided to focus on this stuff and I left the university. But my father was military. And when I came home with this idea, he said, no way, Alex, if you're doing, I will shoot your leg. And I stayed in university. And I always paid for my studying. Like parents like try to cover, but not full amount. And I always tried to make some money. And as a lot of Ukrainian entrepreneurs, we love to do outsourcing. It's what, like obvious way you can buy very bright minds for like a couple of dollars per hour and sell for 30 to the United States. It actually was the second business. And it goes quite successfully. But like after five years, I sold this outsourcing business and starting next one. And actually, after university, I got to Big Four. It was an interesting story. Maybe touch one day, but not now. Yeah, I used to help one very important organization in Ukraine. It was like Europe Union project in Ukraine. I was involved for a few years. And when this project finished, they read me like a reference letter. And I got to Big Four. And actually spent 6 years then. It was, as it's called today, most boring 6 years of my life. But it was a great education and a great school, like hardworking school, 24 hours, 7, etc. And that moment, honestly, I always dreamed to create the product. I have no idea what exactly it should be, but I have only one dream. I should stop doing consulting and outsourcing. Because I'm helping multiple businesses be successful, I want to have a mind. And honestly, when you work as a consultant, you're like a wolf. Like your salary is small, you get some bonuses from the projects, and I know you know also this very well. And I want to make something what can work without my 100% attention. Yeah, I took all my savings. I sold my company. Right now, honestly, this I was a bit crazy. Maybe today I will not do this because I even bought a huge apartments in center of the Kyiv, and I am not doing any renovation there. And actually, my wife was not my wife that moment. She said, "Alex, what are you doing? Like, we have a home, but we can't live there. You're putting all your money in your business." But I was so passionate that we should doing something. And it was like this company, what you saw, this like group buying service to try to replicate like Groupon in Ukraine. Like actually, it was Wood.com was acquired by Amazon. The flash deals where you can share in social media your ability to buy some item and you receive a discount if this makes them some viral effect. And honestly, it was like two big learnings. The first one, marketplace is about buy and sell traffic. It's not technological business at all. Like, and the second learning, it was like deliver your product as soon as possible. That moment, I read the book, Four Steps to the Epiphany, Steve Blank. And because I used the like outsourcing approach, we developed the solution more than 1.5 years. I invested like two Lexuses there. It was a really expensive lesson. And then you realize there's no one.
I like the way you're valuing it in terms of Lexuses. That's a good one.
It was like when the money goes down every month, and I back to my co-founder say, "Bro, like, look, first, I'm super happy. We're doing our stuff. We're doing our business and product company finally." But I'm engineer and you're an engineer, and what we do in the marketplace is not even at least like they don't realize the engineering passion. We need to buy traffic, etc. And actually, I realized the same problem. What I saw in my Big Four career is like a lot of retailers, they're using econometric guys and econometric analysts sitting like in Ukraine, in UK, like we was like subcontractors of like head office from UK, of course. And there's a huge room of the people who creating Excel formulas and spending thousands of hours every year. And actually all those analytics actually like outdated 90 days, you need to rebuild, but no one paying for this because it's so expensive. And like, honestly, I asked my boss to say Xbox there, like, give me, give me the budget, let me do this. And of course, say, no way, Alex, you're killing our business. We designed to charge for hours, not for some subscriptions. Yeah, it was for me, again, signal, like, we should start doing something else. And also this first company helps me also understand that, wow, retailers, what we published their ads on our platform, they was banned by 80%. We not allowed the publishing of these advertisings because the price was not optimal. The people have no way they want to share this because they can find product cheaper in the internet same day. And it's like two dots I connect, like, wow, it's like retailers can't manage optimal prices on a daily basis because it's just it's crazy expensive. And you should be like a billion-dollar company to afford the solution, what can makes your price optimal on a weekly or daily basis. Yeah, and then we pivoted immediately from this marketplace business to Computera. Like, it's like, we can kind of say the spin-off, but no, it just was just a validation of the problem of the optimal prices in online, offline, et cetera. Is what we are doing right now, optimizing prices.
Alex, there's so much energy. There's so much passion in this. I know you can talk hours and hours about retail and e-commerce and Computera. We'll get to that. And you know, I know that this is not the last conversation we're having. Sure. We definitely want to follow the company. We definitely want to speak more to you about the successes of Computera. But before we do that, I want to talk about disruptions. I want to talk about your life, the life of your employees, which is, you know, hundreds of them. And I want to, you know, present it in such a way that, you know, first we had COVID, right, which was kind of a shock to all of our systems to begin with. And after COVID, obviously, e-commerce business specifically actually did well in many cases. Some did well. Most of them did well. Most, you know, some didn't. But that was one disruption, a major disruption. Now we have a huge disruption called war in Ukraine. Horrible aggression from the Russian Federation. A full all-out war. Your company is in the heart of Ukraine and Kiev in the center. And what went through your mind when you first heard of the war? You know, in its, you know, in its first day. And, you know, first of all, were you ready? Were you even thinking in terms of risk management or anticipating something like this, or doing something, you know, to anticipate? Or if not, or not, maybe not enough of it, what sort of went through your mind as a CEO, as somebody who is responsible for the lives of many in the company? What went through your mind when you first heard of the news?
Yeah, Alex, it's a great question. First of all, we forgot to mention revolution. The Computera was founded the year when Grivna drops to 200%, right? And I think like the Computera burn in this on with on this I don't know how to say, like, stagnations or something, like this crazy events like revolution, COVID, then war. A lot only.
Right, I failed to mention that 2014 we had obviously. The first overthrow of the pro-Russian government in Ukraine, and you know, what we call a revolution, obviously.
Yeah, and you see this, we were quite prepared for all this crazy stuff, and COVID actually, honestly, the great learning. Like for us, it was really horrible year, because, you know, the retail first even during the war, retail is operating. Good or bad, but they still, during the COVID, not. All was closed. And it's actually since, like, even Second World War was not example, because retail operating globally. And we were shocked by COVID situation. And, you know, like, we targeting, like, offline retailers, big one, who just froze all innovation budgets. But we used to, like, decrease our manpower, of course. Like, we say, I don't remember, around 30% of employee, we say bye that moment. But thanks God, we have e-commerce, what runs well, and we're still closing the deals even this in 2020. And we postpone our fundraising plans, of course. It was a great year before, and then there's a huge drop. And the smart investors, they want to invest, but ask me for just dilute my funding, dilute my valuation, maybe 50%. We just decided to say no, and just continue operating as it is. All the employee actually was, we offering them to invest in Computera. It means that they give up a bit of their salaries and receive their stock option with some multiple on it. And it's how my team fund the team that moment, company. About the work is, funny fact, thanks for my CTO, we start doing this from October. Since October, he said, Alex, look, I'm even putting my car on sale, because I think it's something, as soon as this Western gas channel, Russia complete this building, they will invent Ukraine. And we start preparation of our case in October, not so fast as I right now.
But you knew, so one of the triggers for you guys was that the are you talking about the Nord pipeline?
Exactly.
Okay. So you were thinking that as soon as the Russians completed the project, you were going to they were going to invade Ukraine. Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, we do predictive software, right? And maybe we.
I was just gonna say, did you have your software predict that for you and with you, or were there other factors that gave you this idea or this convictions? I should say.
Honestly, I can't say this is software because software works not for that. But yeah, we have is like a data lake, and our computer is designed to continuously collect the inflation factors, all the news, they call it econometrical factors. And it's like the brain of our few of our like employees, especially like CTO, head of mail, they build it to analyze the trends, analyze the some situations. And of course, we start talking about, even we create this war case chat in Telegram in October. But the idea was even in September, we start first discussions, but we not create the group, like active group who are discussing what we should do, etc. Yeah, and this like we started from October, but technically, but no one knows when, of course, like it's most complicated.
Exactly. February 24th, the war begins. You're still in Kyiv, I'm assuming, right?
I know, just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, and February 4th, I create the whole meeting, AMA session with me, with the whole team, and I say, guys, you should leave the Ukraine. The high probability of the war, I personally not believe. I have my friend who owned like $20 billion in assets in Ukraine in development. He's sitting at home with all his family. And he say, Alex, there's nothing that happens, but I convince you to start relocation now. And, you know, of course, and they ask what we do is a 22% of our employees was relocated before war started. And the rest 30 plus we evacuated in the first day because they was ready. All the papers, all the cars. The first bomb hit it in 8 in the morning. Next day, they was in the cars. Because they preparing, but they don't know when they should start.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And we expect after Putin announced that he will annex this Donetsk and Lugansk, I say, guys, all people say, ask, Alex, what's the trigger? I say, trigger is the tanks coming to our borders, crossing our borders. And that morning, the signal was so bright, right? Like bombs dropping to all our cities. No one expect this. Yeah, but in next like six days, 92% of our operation was restored. And even I received a message from the customer said, Alex, if we are not reading the news and don't know what happens, we can't even recognize that something can happen in Ukraine. Like, thank you for your team, it's so well, etc. Because we was prepared, maybe this way.
So what is the lesson here? In terms of anticipating risks as a business, anticipating, obviously no one could anticipate the enormity of this, right? The scale of this and the scale of the Ukrainian resistance, you know, and so forth. But it sounds to me like your management team, you know, understanding the geopolitics, understanding a number of different factors, you guys were ready. You guys actually had a very good preparedness. What are some of the lessons that you've learned, and what are some of the advice that you want to give to entrepreneurs who are running companies and to even, you know, small and medium-sized businesses or even global businesses that are running these companies and are kind of thinking in terms of, you know, how do I even begin to do this risk assessment? How do I begin to anticipate something like this?
I had an amazing question, Alex. We actually have some practice in Computera. We work on the 666 framework. Like every 6 months, we review 6 years, like our future, where we should be there to not become Nokia one day. And then we act on 6 weeks OKRs. Like, and this 6 weeks drop like 2 week sprints in 666. Every 6 months, we're always reviewing the future and the amazing book for the good and bad strategy. I took the framework from there, and we had this like company state strategy, and this like internal and external factors what actually can influence our future. Internal factors like internal factors and challenges what we have, like we call external challenges and internal challenges. An external challenge about the war and the geopolitical situation in Ukraine was always in our top line paper, and all the employee knows that. We're talking about this continuously. This is my suggestion of course, like sometimes you should prepare the tree plants. Again, some small episode from the evacuation. I sent two different groups of girls, because it's my accountant girls, with cash money. Because this cash needed, because you can't work, but you can know, but banks can be off, right? And again, all the West Ukraine, they need your cash. You need to pay for cash on your gas stations and on your hotel rooms. And I sent two different girls with the money in their pockets. And both these girls not feel able to join the group. And the third girl, it was my wife, she also has the money. So she like it was three, and two is don't work. And like in the people without money in the new country.
We should probably explain why you're saying girls, because you know, I mean women obviously, but the reason I think you're saying this is because that's another risk, because at that time men were not able to leave the Ukraine, correct?
Exactly.
And so to cross the border, to basically leave to leave Ukraine, you had to be a woman, especially if you were part of an operation and you had to secure some level of operations, right? You had to do that. That's why, and I just want to make sure that's clear to everybody.
Yeah, this means that make your three plans, continuously evaluate your like the factors, external factors, economical factors, what can influence your business, guys, like the next 3-6 years. And secondly, prepare like not one, in most cases, you prepare one plan, right, and plan B. You need plan C and honestly, even D. What we will do if this and this will not work. Yeah.
I think it's fascinating to talk to you because you're applying, you know, you're ahead of, you know, you have a technology background, you have a data background, and you're applying some really interesting algorithms and some really interesting decision-making algorithms to real life situations, real life, disruption, major disruption situations. A lot of businesses don't realize that certain things can happen suddenly, like COVID happened almost overnight. War in Ukraine happened almost overnight, even though there were a number of different factors leading up to this and so forth. But like you said, nobody knew when they were actually going to invade and to what extent, right? Is it tanks? Is it rockets? Is it, you know, whatever? So very fascinating, very interesting. What happened next? Then you moved the team moved out of Ukraine, or at least some portion of the team. To continue the operation, obviously.
The good signal, like the most of the executive team and King people was evacuated like 10 days before the war. And the rest of this, of course, and the rest of the Ukraine were like mostly safety, right? And we work right now in the new reality. And
what is the plan? If I may ask you more... not controversial, but there are a lot of different, there are a lot of different interesting discussions going on as to what's going to happen after the war. What are your plans? Obviously, you can't plan anything like this because nobody knows. We have a major battle coming up between Ukraine and Russia in the Donbas region, so we have no idea how long it's going to take and what's going to be the outcome of this. But any plans to establish your presence outside of Ukraine, a bigger presence, or do you still have the plan to come back?
Mark, Alex, this is a great question. Like we just had a conversation last week with my team, and I said, guys, we had the office in New York. They all know it. We have no plans to set up any office in Europe, honestly. Like we spent like more than 20 months in remote mode because the COVID. Is no sense. We're all proud of Ukraine and we want to go back home. We just kick off our new office and actually put some money on it. Of course, everything has no sense. Yeah, and we want to go back home. They know they really love Ukraine and Kyiv and they want to live there. And I don't want to stress them and say, yeah, we will move there, etc. Yeah, it was our plan to continue our operations remotely. We have office in the United States. Who wants, he can move there. We will help with all this relocation. We already helped like the multiples of families, but we will get back to Kyiv as soon as possible.
I think the from the optimism standpoint, Ukraine after the war will have so much help that's going to be needed to reconstruct, to rebuild, and anybody who is willing and able to come back and rebuild and renew, contribute, you know, I'm certainly going to be one of those people who who's going to continue to invest and to, you know, to keep Ukraine, you know, as a priority. So that's good to hear. That's great to hear that you have plans to come back. You have plans to continue to build the business in Kyiv and Ukraine and so forth. Let me ask you a different question, Alex. Looking in retrospect, looking back at all of this, how did your value system change through this entire experience in terms of COVID, you know, 2014, COVID, the war, going through this tremendous disruption, tremendous shock for yourself, for your family, for your employees, for your partners, for your clients? How did your value system change?
You know, again, another great question, but I always was about the people, and I always say this, you can find my interviews like 2-3 years ago, I said, is no one, any business is impossible without the people, and what that makes people is a trust and relations. Like in the best businesses in the world, they create based on trust. Even though we discussed with you a lot of like multi-billion dollar deals, they not making without trust. And is why the, honestly, bro, I realized like you can live with very small carriage, like 3 t-shirts, that's it. You don't need nothing actually to survive in the modern world. Second that, you have the credit card on your MacBook. Is all what you needed. Of course, for the companies like IT companies, I have a lot of friends who run this offline business, they shop still. Yeah, but the main value, I said that, like, I just maybe improved my statement that people is a key, and I always put the people in our values, in investments, in the bright minds more than anything else. Yeah, and this is probably why. Actually, this is an interesting fact, what I see from perspective of the work. COVID separates the group. They separate the team because COVID not allows you to hug your friend, right? To have your colleagues. This is, you see on my wall, this is a wall, welcome home. It's like a lot of pictures, like their teammates, have they meet each other, etc. And COVID makes a huge separation in the team. It was hard to support all the Zoom wine or Zoom cooking, this crazy, unusual, but the war, the opposite, the war that makes the relations stronger and people so supportive. I see how they work right now in all those tasks. Like one guy in Georgia, Italy, Cyprus, New York, all day together, they chatting, they supporting. Yeah, this biggest asset is like people. I not change my value. I just, again, ensure that people is a key.
Thank you. I totally agree with you. And I think what you're doing and how you're doing this is commendable. And it's incredible how much you commit to not only the company and the technology and the metrics and so forth. You know, when it comes to something like war, like this war, you forget about the metrics. You only think about the people. And you want to make sure that they're safe and their families are safe and so forth. One last question before we part. And again, as I said to our audience, would be happy to continue to follow you and your success and your developments and so forth. Any last piece of advice to the audience out there, to global entrepreneurs? What do you think should be their priority, so to speak?
That's a good question. Let me think that. First of all, I think that its borders doesn't exist anymore. Even COVID proved this. You right now you can operate globally. Just do not afraid. Don't ignore the partners. I really love this. A lot of partners right now help to spread the computer in the markets, but I can't even imagine exist. Or the customer from Singapore, New Zealand, etc. is because the partners they help you to take a look at the partner channel. You maybe is something what really can be valuable for you. Invest in your people, stay positive. What I can say, like, you should be a bit crazy to run the company anyway. And if you're an entrepreneur and listening to this podcast, Alex also entrepreneur, right? I also, Alex, I heard the great, I read the great article about this only 1.5% people actually burning with this entrepreneurial DNA. And if you're there in this club, just enjoy your life. try to be positive and work. This right now is a great opportunity to work without any borders. Yeah, using Zoom, etc. People really not expect that you will visit their office and meet them in person. That's why it's a good opportunity. You can use it.
Alex, thank you so much. It's a pleasure and privilege to talk to you. You're beaming with optimism. You're beaming with energy. It's incredible. You know, the company is lucky. The investors, the company are lucky to have you to lead this team. And I'm sure we're going to continue to talk again. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for your time. Yeah, good luck. Love your podcast.
Thank you.